opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing, bloody murder, molesting, running airplanes into buildings. Every time I turn around, something else is going wrong. Yeah, tell me, what the hell is going on?
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
And welcome back once again to the Rusty Satellite Show, where you'll find the most interesting people in the Ville. I want to thank you out there, listeners. There are plenty of you, I'm discovering. I've checked our stats recently, and there's a lot of downloads of this show, and I'm very pleased with that. And excited to bring you more interesting people this week. It's sort of a, I guess you would say, a liberal show this week. I have the, first up, I have the esteemed cartoonist at the Courier Journal, Mark Murphy, who is has a day job as an attorney up in the Mercer Tower downtown. He's a beautiful office and some great stuff in there I'll talk about here in a minute. And we talked about some of the controversy he's been causing with some of his cartoons in the Courier. And he's a great guy. So anyway, that in the second half of the show, I'm going to have Mike Ward. And those of you who have been around a while, remember Mike Ward was a congressman from Louisville. He had the seat now held by John Yarmuth, and has done a lot of other things in town. And now he is heading up the efforts in Kentucky to get medical marijuana legalized. And that's a key issue and an important issue for our state as we move forward. So that's what's coming up on the show today. I've got a lot of other stuff to talk about, including the Powerball craze that's going on, an update on the Mall St. Matthews incident, and this week we also had the Breakfast of Champions, which is an event that I am involved in in organizing, and we had last week's guest, Teresa Reno Weber, who was on the Rusty Satellite Show, gave a wonderful talk to our crowd. We had about 60 people there on a... Well, it was snowy by the end of the event, but again, I'll get off my soapbox about how the people who forecast weather around here try to scare you into staying in every single time there's a threat of a snowflake. We had that going on Monday morning, but some brave souls came out. 60 folks came out to the Breakfast Champions. It was a great event, and we got a great, inspiring message from Teresa Reno Weber. All right, so let's get on with the show. My first guest is Mark Murphy, longtime cartoonist at the Courier Journal. I really love his work. He's certainly got a point of view and is given a platform to express that view each and every week. I went up there with Bill Brimer. We got some great photos, and I want you to listen as I have a nice talk here with Mark Murphy.
As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect, but the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was gonna do anyway. When they say, "We take the time to care," they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
All right, today I'm up in a tall building downtown with Mark Murphy, who is, I guess, just fascinates me as the cartoonist for the Courier Journal. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here. Thanks for asking.
It's a pretty cool setup you got. I'm looking at all this cool stuff in your office. But
It seems unusual. We were just talking about the craft of being a cartoonist. It's different than it used to be. You do all the work right here on this little iPad.
Yeah. It's changed. I think about the days. You were mentioning before we went on the air the time you went to see the Hugh Haney exhibit.
Right.
Down at the Fraser Historic Museum. And when I see Hugh Haney's works, I get up to them like they're a Van Gogh, and I put my nose almost right to them until the security man makes me back away. But if you look closely at a Hugh Haney cartoon, you see all these things that I love: whiteout, pencil etchings. He did a lot of cutting and pasting, like a lot of the shading. Some of the iconic shading that Hugh Haney did is actually cut and pasted and then glued onto his cartoons. It's really amazing. He would be probably utterly unimpressed, first of all, with the quality of my work, but secondly, with the fact that the work that I do, as you said, is on an iPad that I carry around. People frequently ask what my studio looks like or whether my wife tolerates a big, messy studio at home, and the fact is I can do it in the backseat of a car or waiting at court or, like we said, or something like that.
Well, it's very cool. And, of course, cartoonists at newspapers always have fascinated me, and you, I guess we can talk a little bit about some of the issues that you've addressed. Most recently, the television station did a story on you because you had a cartoon that brought some attention, right? Which is what you want.
Yeah.
Tell me about that one.
That was a cartoon after Tamir Rice, of course, was shot in Cleveland, the young 12-year-old boy that had the plastic gun. Certainly, as some of the complaints were registered, it would appear by all accounts to be a real gun. But he's a 12-year-old boy. He was shot down in a park, and he was killed by a cop. The controversy arose after the grand jury in Cleveland failed to indict that police or the policemen that were there at the time. The cartoon that I drew expressed what I hear a lot in the community. You can see this things that you read otherwise, and that is that young black men are in danger of being shot at a rate and in a different way, frankly, than other races, certainly other than white young men who live in the suburbs, as an example. Mm-hmm. And it was Christmas time, and so, I think the most popular Christmas TV movie right now is A Christmas Story, where all the little boy wanted was the Red Ryder BB gun, and his mother said no, a very iconic line, because you'll shoot your eye out. And I had seen a commercial for that during the Tamir Rice grand jury, and it struck me that that's not what would be said to Tamir Rice and to the hundreds of thousands of Tamir Rices around today in our country. It isn't you'll shoot your eye out. It is, you take that BB gun to the park, you could get shot by a cop.
Yeah.
Well, the discussion arose that it was a very broad anti-law enforcement swipe, and there were lots of complaints. I think some of the complaints were coordinated. Sometimes I can tell from the email and from the social media posts when it isn't an organic complaint or sort of protest against me. Sometimes it reeks a little bit of some organization.
Yeah.
Let's get this guy, make this guy's life miserable for a while. The shame of it is it doesn't make me miserable.
Sort of a badge of honor, I would guess, or at least you're having an effect out there, right?
Starting a discussion. Mm-hmm. These aren't position papers. They're not even editorials in the sense that they're four column length, 10,000 word summaries of a position. They're visual images that are intended to hopefully strike a chord with people and present, if not a different view on things, then something that they're looking at in a different way.
Okay. And so you get this feedback, a lot of it negative. I'm sure you get a lot of positive as well, but anything stands out to you as the most threatening or vicious response to a cartoon? Anything like that?
Yeah, there are. Actually, it's interesting. I hear mostly the complaints because the sense that I get, maybe I'm kidding myself, but the sense that I get is that when people approve or like what I've drawn, they think to themselves, I approve or like what he's drawn, and then they move on with their lives.
Right.
People are more agitated and motivated to do something about it if they're upset. And that's human nature. And maybe that's how things, maybe that's how we progress as a society, is you don't like something, you want to change it. The most, I guess, dangerous or visceral reaction I got, and this one was a clearly orchestrated thing that I think may have begun organically, but it became a little dangerous. I drew a cartoon, or to back up a little bit, and interestingly, and I guess this isn't a coincidence, this is about guns, too, mm-hmm. and about violence in America. Unfortunately, that I end up having to draw quite a bit about that. I can't imagine what a political cartoonist in Sweden would draw about, but I don't think it would be about guns. Well, anyway, so there was a little 4-year-old girl who was killed in southern mm-hmm. Kentucky, far southern Kentucky. This was about 3 years ago. Okay. And she was killed by her, 5-year-old brother. You know, that happens relatively regularly,
oh, yeah.
certainly more than it should in the United States. If you go to some of the larger big box stores, sporting goods stores, even in Louisville here, you can see real guns that are made for children that are painted either light blue or pink.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we do in this country. But putting that aside for a second, so this little boy, one of the siblings was killed by his other younger sibling. Nobody meant to do that, obviously. It was just a tragic, tragic thing that happened. I'm a former prosecutor. I was the Commonwealth's attorney here in Jefferson County. And I think sometimes, I guess, in slightly different terms, or I have different images in my head. And one of the things that we always reviewed as prosecutors was the autopsy report. So the autopsy report that I envisioned and that I drew didn't show the little girl, didn't show the body of a little girl. It had the outline of a drawing that you have of a classic human form mm-hmm. that's on an autopsy. And it, when it came to the point where it said cause of death on the cartoon that I drew, I labeled a number of things. By the way, I didn't put her parents. I didn't put her brother, because as a matter of fact, it wasn't their fault. I mean, we could talk about the negligence of a family and things like that. But what I put was our own politics, the NRA, our anti-intellectual stand toward guns and violence and things like that. And I thought, frankly, it was a 30,000-foot cartoon. Well, people lost their minds. And I received... people friended me on one of my Facebook pages just to threaten me, which is a lot of work.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, really
but
is.
The best part about that, the worst part about that is that there were wanted posters of me down in this southern Kentucky county. And a second part of the bad part of that story is I wanted one of those.
Yeah,
and
of
I
course.
Couldn't get anybody to go down and get one for me. And I certainly wasn't going to go down.
You mean they put them up on telephone poles
yeah,
and stuff? And
yeah,
wow.
I wanted to see
That's
what
really
picture
something.
They used. You know? Because we all have yeah. egos, you know.
Yeah, I hope they used that good photo.
Yeah, that's but, not a good size.
You know, talking about your work and what the funny is, you know, maybe you just have to be liberal or I like to think of it as the Republicans are so much easier to make fun of. But, you know, I don't know if you consider yourself liberal, but your work certainly, you know, I guess
you
tomorrow's takes a shot at Trump, right? So,
yeah.
So he's a lot of fun, I'm sure. Are there Republican focused cartoonists, or is that the way you came to it in terms of the way you think?
I come to it naturally. I mean, I am a liberal. I consider myself progressive. I consider myself a liberal. I'm a Democrat, but I certainly have criticized and lampooned and been pretty harsh on, I guess, on my own, if you will, on the Democrats. I mean, it was, for instance, I was very critical and remain critical of what the kind of things that Greg Stumbo has said as Speaker of the mm-hmm. House, and how he's threatened a lawsuit and accused these Democrats that have changed signs as committing actual criminal acts.
Mm-hmm.
He suggested that. So I've criticized him for that. But no, most of my cartoons are going to be, I do have an agenda. I mean, people have asked me this before. You act like, you know, you have an agenda. Well, yes, I have an agenda. I'm also biased.
It appears on the editorial page. Let's remember that.
Exactly. This isn't news. This is a comment. I am biased, but I think that I know that it's a bias that comes from my heart. It's how I feel. I read a lot. I study a lot. This is my genuine take on things.
Okay.
People talk about political cartoons the same way they talk about political shows, for instance. You know, there's long been a complaint that there aren't really any funny conservative shows. Like, where's the Daily Show for the conservatives?
Right.
and that
sort
of thing.
They're the editorial cartoonists for the Conservative.
And there are some very, very effective, wonderful editorial cartoonists who are, you would consider, I guess, conservative, or certainly not liberal. There's a Michael Ramirez, who I think is one of the best artists that we have in the country. There are two or three others that they publish. I know people don't believe this, and the way they talk about it, you'd think that it never happens. But sometimes on the same day that the Courier publishes my cartoons, and certainly on the days of the week when I don't have a cartoon, they publish conservative-leaning cartoons. There's Elisa Benson, who does really good work on the other side, if you will.
Okay.
So it isn't one-sided, but it certainly leans in that direction on the editorial page.
Sure. Well, we got you got new players now to deal with. Bevan seems like ripe for satire and criticism. What do you anticipate going into Bevan's governorship?
No one knows. You know, he actually has said and done, in fairness, and this will shock people that I'm saying this, I think he has said and done some relatively reasonable things since he's actually been governor. You know, former Governor Beshear, actually opened up his Twitter account and made a comment right after or right before the inauguration in which he said he's going to find out there's a big difference between campaigning and governing. And, you know, maybe, hopefully, he will find that out. More importantly, though, for the purposes of our discussion, Matt Bevin is extremely easy to draw. And he's the first candidate since Nixon where I wasn't around to draw Nixon. I was alive, but I wasn't drawing cartoons, at least none that anybody would publish. He's got a great 5 o'clock shadow.
Yeah,
and as a person who has a 5 o'clock shadow at about 9:30 in the morning, I appreciate that. So he's going to be pretty easy to lampoon. Now his relationship with Kim Davis, for instance, I've already been able to talk some about. And as long as he continues, I think to, in my opinion, misinterpret what it means to have religious freedom, for instance,
right?
That's going to be fairly easy to draw about. Because in the middle of that, we have the ARC. You know, we had legislators, the Republican Senate proposed a bill the other day in which, in all seriousness, they want to delay the start of
exactly
the educational year in the state of Kentucky, where we're either 48th or 49th, depending on where Mississippi is in any given year, so that more people can attend the opening of the ARC Park. So it's anti-intellectualism being fueled by the desire to make people more ignorant and give them the opportunity to do so. So
well, that brings in one other thing I want to touch on, you know, because I see it in a lot of, you know, you did a lot with Kim Davis. You do a lot with religion and the intersection of religion and politics. And I would think that would be, as much as guns, an area where you would be ripe for even more criticism from that side.
The two categories of drawings that I do that draw the most criticism are those about race, particularly where it's race that involves violence of some kind, and religion, as you suggest, and particularly lately over the subject of gay marriage. Yeah.
Okay.
On the good side, I suppose, people take that very, very seriously. But on the negative side, on the disappointing side, the comments have indicated an unwillingness to think. Either my preacher or somebody else told me that this is how I have to feel. If I don't feel this way, I feel horribly guilty. And I'm not demeaning their beliefs. I love the fact that they have beliefs, but those beliefs may or may not have a role to play in our government.
Sure.
And that's my concern. I've never criticized somebody for being whatever religion it is. I've criticized them for wanting for them forcing themselves upon my government, where I think it's very clear under the Constitution that they shouldn't be.
Very good. Yeah. Boy, I could go on for another half hour, but that's the limit of our time here, Mark. Appreciate you being on the show. Looking forward to your cartoons in this political election year. It ought to be very interesting. And always great work.
Great.
In the Courier Journal.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thanks for the time.
Welcome back to the Rusty Satellite Show. I tell you, I loved getting to know Mark. We went a little over my prescribed 12 minutes because I just couldn't stop talking about some of the issues that, that Mark is interested in. You know, mainly focused on fear. There's a lot of fear brought into politics by especially the Republican candidates for president, especially by Donald Trump. I think it's something that we're going to have to deal with, and people need to sort of like not be scared. I think those issues are like guns and immigration and issues like that. It's just not that much to be scared of. Mark, since we talked, I saw he had a great cartoon in the paper. I'll probably put it on some of my social media about Matt Bevin, the new governor, who as you know, Mark says is great to draw. He is dismantling the Connect program, and I'll tell you, I had a lunch the other day with Mark Carter, who is the CEO of Passport, a sponsor of this show, and he was talking about how much that was going to cost to dismantle that program, and I just don't think it's a good thing for the state, but we'll see. I guess there are some things that Bevin's been doing that have kind of been impressive, so we'll see how that goes. So anyway, in this part of the show, I talk about some issues that are important to me, and I hope to you, and maybe kind of just weird. Like right now, I've got this, you know, I'm hearing everybody talk about the Powerball thing. I mean, this giant lottery thing, so it causes people, you know, it's a weird business model. The people that run the lotteries, you know, they get this big number, so they get people to buy more tickets. And they all think, what would I do? What would I do if I won the Powerball? I was listening to the radio this morning, the Drew Diener show on sports radio, and they were asking people to call in to say what they would do in sports with all that kind of money. And it's all well and good. It's all in fun, right? I think it's all in fun. But you know, you got to remember many years ago when the lottery was controversial in this town, and remember, the lottery in Kentucky started when because Wallace Wilkinson, who I think was not one of our better governors, late in a campaign said he'd bring the lottery, and he instantly won. So all the people in Kentucky voted for him on that. But you got to remember, it is defined, as I've heard, as a tax on the stupid. So it's all well and good if you want to take your $2 up there and put your money in there. But I've seen a lot of stuff online about how unlikely it is. I mean, you're not going to win. Let's just make that clear. You are not going to win because you went up to Thornton's and bought a $2 Powerball ticket. You're not going to win the $1 billion. And unfortunately, a lot of people think go up there buying those think they are going to win. You know, it's sort of fun to do it and talking about it. You know, it'd be fun to take a bucket of money to the middle of the walking bridge downtown and throw it off the side and see what happens. You know, that'd be fun. But in terms of your chances to get any return on that investment in fun is about the same as playing this lottery. So I'm not against the lottery. Don't make that clear. I think there should be a mechanism in our society for people to for the dumb people to lose and you know, smarter people to gain financially. So that's my thought on that. The lottery money goes to good causes and helps in education and all that, and it's great that people who choose to play it and choose to actually think they're going to win participate in that way. So that, you know, that's my opinion on the lottery and the Powerball. I do hope you go out and buy a bunch of Powerball tickets. It really helps the state. It helps a lot of things. So anyway, that's my opinion on Powerball. Another story I really thought was very interesting in this town. The headline on WFPL is St. Matthew's Council doesn't back up police claim of crime wave. And you know, my reaction is like, right, no shit. You know, if you remember the day after Christmas, there was a big controversy at the Mall St. Matthew's. And I actually had Robbie Valentine on this show a week ago to talk about this issue. And basically, the St. Matthew's police panicked. They freaked out because there were a lot of young people. And, okay, let's go ahead and say young black people roaming the mall. And there were only like six cops there. And so the St. Matthew's police basically created this disturbance. They created a panic. They called it a riot. They overestimated the number of people in the crowd. But guess what? This week, now, you know, the facts are coming home to roost. And the St. Matthew's City Council, in the story on WFPL, had a meeting with everybody on the council. No one backed up the cops, and they all said, there's no crime rate surge in St. Matthew's. This is not, there's not more criminal activity. No one is, remember, in the event that was well covered and overblown in local media, there were no injuries, there was no property damage, no one experienced any negative consequences. I mean, they searched and searched and found somebody that had a small injury and all that. But and the malls unfortunately reacted by banning young people from being in the mall without a parent at certain hours on the weekend, which is a horrible rule. I mean, I can't take my 17-year-old son Luke, can't go to the mall at 5 o'clock on Saturday afternoon and go buy something. And I just don't think that's right. And now the facts are coming out, and this story that's in WFPL website reports the St. Matthew City Council meeting, and all the council members are denying that there's even a problem. And the police force in St. Matthews is silent. They claim their reason for cracking down and for creating this problem was that there was this surge in criminal activity by juveniles near the mall and in St. Matthews. And there's no facts to back that up, unfortunately. So I want to see how long it's going to take the malls to change their policy. I hope it doesn't take long. It's really interesting. And you talk about facts. This is a little bit of a transition. This week, I had the Breakfast of Champions at the University Club. It was a great event. Teresa Reno Weber, if you heard her on the show last week, is a very important job with technology and performance of all city departments. She works for Mayor Greg Fisher, and she gave a very inspiring speech and gave some examples of how they're using data to affect the lives of Louisvillians and improve the performance of departments. For example, she talked about how a lot of the fires, they discovered a lot of the fire runs that happen in the city were going to abandoned houses, and they didn't, there's nobody in them, and so the houses would burn up and the firefighters would get there too late. They had someone, they worked to get a smoke alarm created that was inexpensive that they could put in these abandoned homes and reduce the number of total losses in those fires. There's been a lot of fires around town, and it always is this time of year. It's winter. Winter is finally here. It was like 10 degrees this morning, and unfortunately, we lost a couple of restaurants this week. The Super Chef's restaurant here in St. Matthews burned basically to the ground over the weekend, and that was sort of a sad thing. But I guess my point is, Teresa Reno Weber also talked, and her message concluded with a very uplifting idea that we should all do something in our community to improve the lives of others. And certainly, that's a good message. Everybody, the 60 folks that attended the breakfast were great. We'll have another one in March. We're still thinking about who our speaker is going to be, but that will be a big event. I am also playing with, and this is not like a secret or anything, but I am considering and working with a couple of people and trying to put together an event called Cocktails with Champions. Stay tuned to all my social media, and you'll hear a lot about that. It's going to be a really fun event, and hopefully it will take off in popularity the way Breakfast of Champions has done. So anyway, I got one more thing to talk about. And if you've been to LouisvilleKY.com, my website, or RustySatelliteShow.com, you've seen ads for Uber and Lyft on there. And to tell you that I've learned a lot in the last couple of months about Uber and Lyft as a driver. I've sort of been picking up some money on the side, and having a lot of great experiences as a driver for Uber and Lyft. If you're interested in any way in finding out more about this, I urge you to call me. But certainly, there are so many stories I could tell you about the wisdom of using a ride-sharing service if you're out and about going to parties, like there's a couple of parties tonight and the concerts downtown and all the things. It all makes sense. If you want to know anything about riding with Uber and Lyft or driving for the Uber and Lyft, click on the ads on the website, or just get in touch with me. It's a really cool thing. All right, so let's move on to my second guest, who is Mike Ward, who is in the news again, basically because he is heading the cause. Or he's leading a new organization that is working to get medical marijuana approved and legal in the state of Kentucky. And that would be a good thing. As we talk in the interview, you'll hear that it's a surprising number. It's surprising who is behind it and who is against it, I guess, in Kentucky. And I think I'm going to be optimistic and say it really has a chance of one of the bills that are being forwarded or that are being proposed in the legislature this year. I'm very hopeful that one of those will get through and get passed, and it's just a matter of changing these legislators' minds. I don't think it's ever going to happen. There's some issues that we deal with every year, like Bevin, the governor, is, I heard him say in a speech, he's totally against increasing casino gaming. We can trot out all the statistics about how that makes the most sense. Governor's not behind it. It's not going to happen. And you might think that on an issue like marijuana, a Republican, conservative Republican like Bevin would be against it, but he's not. He's for it. Rand Paul's for it. And and I just have reason to think it's got a chance this time. So we'll see. Right now, I'm going to let you get into, let you listen to my interview with Mike Ward. We did it on a cold Wednesday at the St. Matthew Studios of Louisville.am, and here it is.
No matter how young and healthy you are, life can be full of unpleasant surprises. And without health insurance, even a short hospital stay could set you back thousands of dollars. If you qualify for expanded Medicaid, you can get coverage through Passport Health Plan. Find out if you qualify. Call 855-459-6328 or go online at kynect.ky.gov. Choose Passport, the plan that takes the time to care.
All right, it's a chilly January morning here in the St. Matthew Studios of Louisville.am. I'm with Mike Ward, and Mike, a former congressman, has done a lot of things here in town. Mike, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here. Thank you so much, Rusty. Oh, wait, that's not your name.
That's not my real name. We have a lot of fun with that, but... you know, it's interesting, you know, those of us that have a long enough memory in town, I was just talking with you, you used to a wide variety of things, from radio to being a United States congressman.
Yeah, and of course, I was pretty conscious of that last night, because I've gone about every third year or so to the State of the Union. Okay. Once you're a member of Congress, you're always a member of Congress. And so I watched it last night as he...
You're not the one that invited Kim Davis, right?
No, I am not. Okay. But I knew that somebody had to have, and then it came out that Jim Jordan from Ohio had. but I was interested to watch the president stop when he left the chamber last night and turn around and say, let me take one last look.
Wow.
Because the only time a senator is in the House chamber, so when he was in the Senate, was to go to the State of the Union.
Okay.
So there's, I mean, they can go down. They're senators and House members, so interchangeable.
Right.
You can do stuff, but it was fun to watch him do that.
Okay. So you went to that State of the Union last night.
No, I didn't go last night.
Oh, you didn't go.
I'm
last
saying
night.
I've gone many
okay.
years.
Okay. Well, of course, your period as a U.S. congressman was refreshing.
20 years ago.
Okay. Okay. And that was.
And I'm still
an exciting
a young man.
Time for you.
And I'm still a young man. That's the crazy part, Rick.
That's right. Well, I got in touch with you because I saw on Facebook a very interesting story. An issue that I have an interest in is the move to legalize marijuana in Kentucky, and what an uphill battle that has been in the past. And I just want to give you an opportunity to tell me where that is and what this new organization is about.
Well, Legalize Kentucky Now has been established, and I'm the president and CEO, to try to bring a little more mainstream look to it, if that's a good way to say it. An older guy who has that kind of establishment background, having been in Congress, having been in the legislature, is I know how this process works.
Okay.
And I feel that on the medical marijuana side, its time has come. It excuse me, doesn't make any sense that Kentucky is not allowing this for people who have a true medical need.
I certainly understand. I had Perry Clark on this show. I also had a hemp activist, Mose Putney, on the show, and certainly I'm interested in this topic. But again, it's frustrating when you talk about the Kentucky legislature and this sort of, I won't have you say it, but their sort of backwards view of a lot of different things. But with the new administration, how does that change the effort of on marijuana?
I was as surprised as anybody, probably, watching the KET debate with Matt Bevin and Jack Conway when they were asked about medical marijuana legalization, and Conway said no, 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 and Matt Bevin, the Republican, said yes, its time has come. So that's a big deal, because it's so darn simple. And it would be so cool if Kentucky were in the first half of states doing something rather than the second half or the second third or the second tenth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love Kentucky. I've raised my family in Kentucky and hope that they raise theirs in Kentucky. So I just would like us to be ahead of the curve rather than behind it.
Yeah.
For a while.
Well, it is good to hear that the governor is supportive, and it certainly was disappointing. And among the many things, we don't have to get into all the things that Conway did wrong, but you know, certainly having that position sort of went against what I view, and we're both liberals here, of the liberal agenda. I mean, of what Democrats sort of stand for.
Well, we stand for it's interesting because we stand for letting people have more freedom to do what they want. And then libertarians, who are theoretically at the far other end of the extreme, also want to let people do what they want in a responsible way. Now, of course, you've also got our United States Senator Rand Paul in favor of decriminalization of marijuana. Mm-hmm. I mean, I saw him literally this week on TV say, I'm not going to lock up your kids for smoking a joint.
Yeah,
we are hoping to get medical marijuana passed. We're not looking to do the whole decriminalization thing, although we're in favor of it. Mm-hmm. And we feel that there are very strong social justice reasons to do it. In Kentucky, if you're an African American, you're 6 times more likely to get arrested for marijuana possession.
Wow.
6 times. Which is just nuts.
It is. So again, in order for this to be legalized, it has to go through the legislature. The legislative session is just beginning right now. Tell me what kind of steps your group is taking right now to get on that path.
Well, we're working with a couple of members of the House, state representatives, and a couple of state senators to get bills introduced in both bodies.
Okay.
And try to run them parallel.
And now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I've talked to Perry Clark. This is like an almost annual thing to get a bill in.
Well, he's introduced a bill every time, and okay. His is goes farther than what we want to try to get passed this time. So interestingly, and I've spent time with Perry, I've known him forever and ever, and that's another thing I think that I bring to this that many who have been advocates of medical marijuana and decriminalization in Kentucky don't, is that I know so many of these people, have
right.
relationships with them, and Perry's is a good example of that. I hate to say it, but I served with his father because Perry's not a kid.
Yeah, we're all
getting
older.
His dad was a generation older than we. Perry's younger than I. You're younger than I am, Perry. I know that. But Perry and I are going to be working hand in glove on this. I am also working hand in glove with the other people who have been working to legalize medical marijuana in Kentucky. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, it strikes me, issues like this that seem so clear to me, seems something that would benefit so many people, and of course, the criminalization side of it and everything, it always strikes me, well, who's against this? I mean, what is the opposition?
Well, I can give you a great point of comparison. You probably wear your seatbelt.
Mm-hmm.
Did you wear it before it was law?
Probably not.
Really? Awesome. Because I introduced a seatbelt bill in Kentucky 25 years ago when I was in the state house, got it farther than it had ever gotten. It had never gotten out of committee in the legislature in the year 1990, I guess. Or 92. I got it through a committee in the House, passed the House, got it through a committee in the Senate, and the seatbelt bill died in the state Senate on a tie vote, 1919. And what people found out when the next legislative session took place was that their friends who had voted for seatbelts didn't get beat.
Okay.
Many, many of them perceived that because the people who are against seatbelts, the law, are the kinds who say, if you vote for that bill, I'll never vote for you again in my life. Right. Whereas people who were for seatbelts said, you know, okay, well, vote for it, vote against it. I don't care. I'm thinking about 10 other issues. But so what that caused, Rick, was the 1994 session, when actually I had left to run for Congress, it passed World Without End. I mean, it wasn't controversial. It just passed because people saw that voting for seatbelts didn't get them beat. And with medical marijuana, I think it's a very similar situation. And it's never gotten to a vote on either floor of the House or the Senate. It's gotten through committee. But and so what I'm looking to do is I'd like to pass it. But say we get it to a vote in the House or the Senate, and then the people who voted for it don't get beat for it. Right. And some of the people who vote against it get beat up on a little bit when they get home.
I guess it's all about pressure from the constituents, right?
And that's the perception what those of what the constituents are thinking. Okay. So much of elected officials' lives is based on their perception of what the voters think. Because we can never really know. I mean, until we get, I was going to make a silly illustration, but until we get some physical way that everybody can raise their hands to the exact same question at the exact same moment with the exact same amount of information, we're going to have to rely on a representative government.
Exactly. Okay. Well, I'm pulling for you on the marijuana issue, certainly. I want to ask you one question about politics before we go, since I got you here. John Yarmuth is in your old seat in Congress. He's announced he's going to run again. He seems to be the only, our last bastion for Democrats, because all the other seats in all the other political offices basically in the state are now Republican. And this, I guess, the biggest fight this year is control of the House, right? What are the prospects, or how is it going to change our state with all this Republican dominance?
Well, it's going to be interesting to see, because the best example is the House races this year. It's going to be nip and tuck down to the wire. To give you more than maybe you wanted to know, it's 50 Democrats in the House right now in Frankfort, 46 Republicans, and there are four seats that are vacant, two who got elected to statewide office, Republicans, two Democratically held seats who were appointed by Governor Bevin. Those four special elections on March 8th have a chance of giving a 50-50 tie, because two Democrats had already switched to Republican. Yeah. So it started out 54-46, and now it's 50-46, because two of the Republicans who left were replaced by two Democrats who switched. Clearly 50-50 is not control, but if it went to 50-50 after the elections on March 8th, probably there'd be one more Democrat who would switch.
Yeah, well. That would certainly change the face of our state. Of course, Kentucky, I guess, in the South, the things I hear is the last body that's still Democratic controlled, right?
Yeah, every Senate chamber, every House chamber in the South is Republican, except for the Kentucky House. Amazing.
Well, that's interesting. But Mike, unfortunately, we're about out of time here. I'm pulling for you on the legal, the marijuana bill. Is there anything you would say to the folks out there?
Oh, yes. LegalizeKentuckyNow.com.
Okay.
We've got a Facebook page. We've got a Twitter handle. The only difference is in the Twitter, we abbreviate Kentucky, LegalizeKY, KentuckyNow.com, at Twitter. You know what I'm saying. So I got in the habit of the at there for a second. So contact your legislator. It is so simple to do. We've got a list of them on our webpage. There's an opportunity there for you to go to the place where you type in your address to find it out who your legislator is if you don't know. They respond. I was in the legislature. I got so few actual real people contacting me. I got lots of letter writing campaigns.
Yeah.
But people who lived in my district who called me up, my number was and still is in the phone book, and we've got all this contact information that's available to the public. Call them up. Make a time to go see them. Tell them a compelling story of why it's important to you.
Okay, that's good advice. I hope our listeners out there take that up and bring our state out of the dark age, or at least into the top half of the states, because everywhere in the country it seems like marijuana is making a move. So, Mike Ward, thanks for being on the Rusty Satellite Show. We'll be following what you do.
Well, thank you very much. Right now we're at the top of every bad list. We're at the bottom of every good list in the United States of America. It would be nice for Kentucky to be at the top of this list.
Thank you, Mike Ward and Mark Murphy, for being guest of mine on the Rusty Satellite Show this week. It was a pleasure, as always, to talk to the most interesting people in the Ville. I really enjoy doing the show. I want to tell you about a few things if you want to keep up with me and with what's going on in the city. My website, LouisvilleKY.com, is constantly got updates on things going on in town. Also, direct you to my Facebook page. I've been doing something different recently, and I just want you to know about it. If you want to like keep up with past guests of the Rusty Satellite Show, I post their updates on the Rusty Satellite Show page on Facebook, and also on the LouisvilleKY.com page on Facebook. I've got a series of events. A lot of the events listings that come up on Facebook are there. This weekend, there's plenty of stuff going on. You might consider, if you're listening to this on Thursday, going to the Louisville Local Business Expo. It's put on by LIBA, the Independent Business Association. It's taking place over at the Clifton Center. It should be a great event. My friend Carolyn Knopp is doing a benefit at the Vernon Club in Lanes on January 16th. That should be a great event as well. And there's a lot of other things going on this week in and around town as you struggle with getting through the cold. Let's hope that we don't have any snow. But if we do have snow, let's hope you don't get scared because you watch too much TV and listen to weather guys tell you to stay in because it's the end of the world. Yeah. All right. So anyway, that's going to do it for the Rusty Satellite Show this week. I'm hobbling along on my cast still. I get my cast off in a couple of weeks. From my ankle surgery. I'm looking forward to that and getting back to doing some of the things I really, really like to do. So remember, thank you to my sponsors, Passport Health Plans, and to a number of sponsors that are coming on the show in the very near future. It's a very exciting time here at the Rusty Satellite Show, and I appreciate you staying with me and listening to the show. So until next week, when I'll be back with two more of the most interesting people in the Ville, this is Rick Redding.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city. Airplanes in the buildings, never time.